Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
Clinic and seeing the patients, no place to put them for keeping them overnight, but that's our future plans. Mm. So next Saturday at the Cruises at 5 to 9, there's going to be a benefit for fundraising for our hospital. And it's going to be a potluck with dancing. And there's a sign-up sheet back here in the Connect corner. So I hope you all can come out, and I'll give you a presentation of more of what we're doing. Thank you.
Thanks, Heidi. Praise the Lord. Fantastic. Jack casually mentions Scott. Scott is the doctor. And he works in the Indian reservations. He's down in South Okeechobee, and that's where he ministers with his gift of being a doctor and countless lives that they've touched around the world. Well, it's good to have you in our team, Heidi and Scott. And so I really encourage you, if you can make the dinner or if you can contribute towards that, there is information at the back. One of these cards, grab it. It's got all the information about this fundraising dinner, which is happening now, this Saturday. It's really fun. Why? Because the Coastal people there. When Coastal people are there, there is more than enough laughter to go around. So I really want to encourage you on that one. So here we are while the guys dial us in with the sound. We had to revamp the sound just because the live stream needed to be improved. So the people that are listening, if they got bad sound, they stopped listening. And so we did our best down the camera there to give you the best sound, but now it's messed up our sound here, so we're going to try and tweak our sound. And if you're here for the first time, welcome. It's nice to have you all together. You guys are filling up the seats, eh? I mean, you go forth and multiply. Go forth and tell people about Jesus. Invite them in so they can fellowship with us. It's nice to have you all with us. And don't forget to fill in the Connect card. You've got a gift if you're here for the very first time. I also want to just tell you about Trunk or Treats, the first one that's coming up. Trunk or Treat, we are obviously turn our parking lot into vehicles that have trunks open, that all have themes, and allow the local people to walk through here, and it's kind of safe for them for their kids to do the trunk or treat. And so we want to. Do we have enough people for the parking areas? Anyway, I think we need two more people for parking areas outside to kind of have their vehicle and have it decorated. And we've had Smurf, we've had Disneyland, we've got all these different themes, even Barry and Joan. And a couple of folk have got their names down, so they always come up with something interesting. I also want to let you know, if you're at Coastal for the very first time, you may want to let those people in because they can't get in, and it's important that they can get in. But we're having lunch with the pastor, which is lunch at our crib, Val and I. Have you guys come, and if you're visiting and you're looking in, or you just want a free lunch as a new person, okay, locals. Coastal guys, stay away. You eat all my food, eh? So come and have a lunch with us. Pick up an invite back there. Put your name down. We just want to make sure that you can.
It's not a sign up. It's a sign up.
Okay, it's a sign up. Sing up, sign up, but just come anyway. And so that's going to be November 7th. So we also want you. Yes. Also, let us know if you're coming to this this fundraising dinner, because we also need to know the numbers so we make sure that we've got enough of the fatted calf on the table for you to eat. So just if you could do that for us, that'd be great. Praise the Lord. That's my bit, my little numbers. I've got to do my thing here. Earn my keep. Make the announcements. Hallelujah. You ready for the word? Ready to hear? Hallelujah. I'm excited to share that with you today. Today I'm carrying on with the third message of a series that we started a couple of weeks back, Show Us the Way. And it's important that we understand that, because Proverbs 14:12 says this. I don't know if you guys are zooting along. We've got a new program for upgrades. And when upgrades come, they come with all sorts of surprises. And so the scripture here, Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. I don't want to go down to the end of this road and find out, man, I've taken a few wrong turnings and I've gone the wrong way. I want to be able to face the Father one day and he says, well done, you good and faithful servant. And he doesn't want us to, he doesn't want to set us up to fail. He always wants to set us up to win. And as servants and as people that love God, we got to help make sure that we're on the right way. And so, Father, as we just drill down in your word today, we really want to discover your heart, discover your ways, discover who you are. And so I know that, Father, your word says that there seems a way that's right, but we want to know the way that's right. And so we want to walk in it. As Father, as Kim and David shared about the joy of learning from your word, we thank you that we can learn your way. And so give us a heart, ears to hear and a heart to understand today as we look into your word. All God's people said, amen. We have agreement in the house. So Tony Fitzgerald, who kind of heads up our Church of the Nations family of churches that's been going since 78, he has he always comes and brings this thing up. And he says, Rod, always examine why you do what you do. Unearth it, look at it, inspect it, check it. And if you come back to the same conclusion, fantastic. But you may be surprised when the Holy Spirit starts showing you things that need to be adjusted, and it'll be a good time to adjust it, because a little variance here makes a big variance at the end of your life, and realize, oh man, I've been barking up a dead tree here. And so we've got to make sure that we're examining our ways. And we also examine whether this is a religious thing I'm doing, or is this a relational thing I'm doing with God? How's my worship? Is it a ritual? Or is it real? Is there word and deed that goes with my relationship here, or am I just kind of going through the motions? And this is my ritual, and this is what I do, and I check my box, and that appeases my conscience. This is a living relationship with Almighty God. Examine your stewardship, your time, your talent, your treasure. What are we doing with it? Is it lining up with the ways of God? Because that sometimes we find ourselves going down the wrong way or doing the wrong thing, and we need to make sure that we align with our belief in our time, talent, and our treasure. We also need to examine our relationships with our family, with our friends, with our foes. It tells us to love our enemies, and sometimes we have to dig deep for that one because we display it. And so, yeah, in Matthew 18:19, it says if two agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. Agreeing with God is a great thing. And so we need to make sure that what we're doing is agreeing and in sync and symphonizing and synchronizing with what God is doing. Because many times we want to say, God, bless what I'm doing, bless what I'm doing. He says, now find out what I'm doing, get involved in it because it's already blessed. Okay? And sometimes that helps us make a decision. Believing and our behaving needs to be in agreement, because the Bible says, "Where if the house divided against itself, it cannot stand." So we have in this whole form of godliness, but denying the power of it and function of it in our lives. And so God's really wanting us to deal with it. He's wanting the family of believers to know the God they love and serve. He really wants us to know Him. And that's what I'm wanting to drill down, because Daniel says this, 11:32, I've said it literally every time I've got up to speak, that the people who know their God will be strong. And so we want to be those fearless and faithful people, and you only know that by knowing your God. Daniel, when he was chucked into the lion's den, you best know the God you serve when you come across some hungry lions. And you knew how hungry they were, because his enemies were chucked in there a day later, and they didn't even make the ground before there were snacks for the lions in the lion's den. How about the three Hebrew children that were chucked into the fiery furnace that was heated up seven times hotter? But I want to take that. Valerie's message next week is about our way in the fire. And so she's up to preach next week. Better come on and brace yourself, because you're going to get it. Both barrels from the hip. Hallelujah. So we need to know our God. We need to know His ways. And like our loved ones, we know them. I know Val's quirks, and I know her ways, and I go and sort it out before. And we had ostrich eggs that always used to, and they got holes where they drained the contents of the ostrich egg out, and they always used to sit in the middle of our lounge, and the kids would always know. Agro mom, turn those things up so the holes are protruding. And they would come up and they just turn them around. Turn them all around again because she has a way, you know. And so there is a way that we need to understand. And when you get to walk with God, you know there is a way. I learned a lot about His way sitting behind the sound desk. That's why I learned a lot about sound and stuff. And I would know when Holy Spirit would start moving in the building because I would sense where He was going to be. And suddenly I would know, Maria is going to start playing a prophetic song, and I would be ready with the volume. It's that kind of understanding. You know when He's moved into the room. You kind of know when He's moved into your quiet and prayer time. You just know. And that's the knowing I want you to really understand, because He's a living, because we have this thing, we have a living relationship with the Almighty God. We have a personal relationship with the living God. And so the two last topics I've spoken about is God speaking and also hearing God. And so we need to understand that, because communication is a big part of having a relationship, that dialogue. We need to have it dialed in. So we need to learn about it. And to say, no, I'll just let the preacher tell me what God's saying. No, don't do that, because you're shortchanging yourself big time in this relationship. That God is just the best to have a communication with and have a dialogue. He's just the best. And so I really want it. So today's title, I said, to know His voice. I want you to know His voice. And know God's voice. Because John 10:5 says, sheep won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know His voice. And I want us to be those people that know the voice of God. And obviously, John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And it's about knowing God's voice. And so you've got to agree, there are a trillion voices coming at us nowadays. I mean, social media has gone to another level. Any kind of media has gone to another level. Every kind of avenue you can see and hear has gone to another level. So in amongst all that, can you hear God? Can you decipher what it is? Because in 1 Kings 19:11, Elijah is kind of put into a challenge to hear God's voice. In fact, the chapter is titled God Speaking to Elijah. And so Elijah gets put into a windstorm, and in a windstorm, he can't hear God's voice in the windstorm. He puts Elijah into an earthquake. And if those Californians that have come to join us, so happy you're here. I don't know if you've heard what it's like to be in an earthquake, if you were there, because that's what happens on that side of there. But he couldn't hear God's voice in the earthquake. And what about in the fire? Couldn't hear that. And then it became a gentle whisper, and he heard God's voice. And he learned to hear God's voice. And so we need to learn to know how to hear God's voice. And so I want to give you kind of three acid tests on how to know it's God's voice. Important that we kind of know, can we have an acid test? Can I check? Can I make sure what I'm hearing is God's voice? So I'm going to run through three tests that will be great for you to learn. The first one is, does it line up with God's word? Does it line up with God's word? So, you know, you come and say, you know, that's what I sense God's saying. Well, does it line up with God's word? Because Jesus, His life, His voice aligned and agreed with God's word, the scripture. He never walked out of alignment or spoke out of alignment with God's word. In fact, he's challenged here by the Pharisees in Matthew 19, verse 3. And it says, some Pharisees came and tried to trap Jesus with this question. Should a man be allowed to divorce his wife for just any reason? And haven't you read, is his answer, haven't you read the scriptures, Jesus said. They recorded that from the beginning, God made them male and female. I don't know how this new gender thing would take that scripture. But anyway, that's not the point. Jesus immediately says, haven't you read the scriptures? So Jesus came up with the scriptures, spoke the scriptures, and it was important. And so the scripture, we understand, we've heard endless people talk on scriptures, taking it out of context. I mean, you go to Matthew, Mark 16, where you pick up a serpent and drink any deadly thing. Well, they made a whole ministry and were having snakes on stages and all that kind of stuff. They've gone off. They left the reservation, man. They left the reservation, those guys. Come on. And so you understand that Jesus went into the wilderness, and guess what? The devil was there. And so what he had to do to combat the devil is quote scripture. It's written. It's written. Oh, and the devil quoted scripture to him. The devil will take the scripture out of context and nail you. So you better be on your A game or go to the Bible school, because Kim is ready for you guys at the Bible school, okay? So, but we need to know that we know that what God's saying is confirmed in his scripture. It aligns with his nature, his character. Second test is, God, does godly counsel agree? Very important. Does godly counsel sound off with good godly counsel? Go and sound off what you sense God saying with godly people. What's a godly person? Somebody who knows God, who knows the Word, and also knows you. You head off to somebody who doesn't know you. Well, if you come around me and I know you, well, I'm going to have heads up that, listen, maybe you've had good pizza last night, but that ain't God, what you ever you just told me, okay? Because I know you. It's good that you have that, have those friends around you, that relationship. That's why involved in the body of Christ is so important. Because there's giftings, there's people that love you and want the best for you. So you need to make sure that the person knows God, that knows his word, and also knows you. So godly people for godly counsel. You just don't go to a heathen professor to get counsel about what God wants you to do in the future. It's just the wrong informer. Okay, just don't go there. Okay, and when you go and ask people, for godly counsel, don't say, "Listen, God told me, God said." Well, guess what? You played the trump card. You come to me and say, "Well, God's just told me I need to do this or do that or go here." Well, who am I going to challenge? I'm going to challenge God now in your life. No, I can't. But when you go there and say, "Listen, I've been praying and I sense this. I think this. I'm feeling this. Can you pray with me? Can you help me? Can you?" But I sense this. But when you come to me and say, "God's told me," well, you paid the top card in the deck. I can't trump that. If God said it, that settles it, and off you go. But here in Proverbs 12:15, it says, "Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others." The wise listen to others. Proverbs 19:20, "Listen to counsel, receive instructions, that you may be wise in your latter days." Proverbs 24:6, "For by wise counsel you will wage your own war, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety." Man, please. Rehoboam, son of King Solomon, the wise guy, the wisest king that walked, he decided now he was going to get counsel from two different groups of people. The first group of people, he kind of rejected and took advice from the second group. Now, he is looking for wisdom. He's looking for a way forward. But this is what that says here in 1 Kings 12:8. You must just go and read the whole story. "But Rehoboam rejected the advice of the older men." I'm getting to a point here. "And instead asked the opinion of the young men who he grew up with. And they were his advisors." It is a trend today, church, where people are getting counsel from their own peers. Man, they're hardly out of diapers and they're getting advice from the people that have no life experience at all. They have not taken a knock in life. They haven't gone bankrupt in their life. They haven't made a mistake in their life. And now they're giving godly counsel. And they have got all the advice in the world. Be warned. We need to make sure. Listen, there's two ways you learn. Your mistakes are the mistakes of others. I got a whole encyclopedia of mistakes that I can teach you things you mustn't do. So I'm just saying, listen, godly counsel is good. And I know that we're old geezers and we don't know what the new trend is and we may not know how Twitter works and all those kind of things. But no, there's some basic things in life that we actually know what's happening. And we know that, hey, that bit me. And I don't want those that are growing up with me to come into that same thing. So, like I say, there's two ways you learn. Your mistakes are the mistakes of others. And I am coming to your doorstep to learn all about your mistakes. I'm learning a lot from Jerry. And he's had a lot of mistakes, okay? A lot of mistakes. But church, the third acid test, do I have peace? This is key in my life. I tell you what, if I run... I run on that inner peace. If I lose that inner peace, I tell you what, I stop dead in my tracks. And We've had a few of those where you make the decision. My head is debating, but my heart is at peace. Then I'm okay, because I'm on my head saying, but what if, my heart's saying, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Why? Because that's where my spirit man dwells. My spirit man's in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And so I have this confirmation that's okay. My head's spinning out. You're going to pack up everything you have at 47 and come across to Flagler and start at zero with nobody and only knowing one couple. Your head is spinning like crazy. Let me just tell you that. And if you don't have peace in your heart, you are going to have sleepless nights. So Val and I were involved in helping a national ministry of a marriage ministry in South Africa. And we successfully did an incredible great marriage seminar down in Cape Town. And so the international leaders came and said, listen, Rod and Val, you just see that there's a mantle on your life. Do you want to head up the whole ministry in the whole country? And man, it sounded all glamorous and wonderful and everything else. And we kind of said yes before we really thought about it. And that night, Val and I, no sleeping, no peace. Peace had gone, walkabouts, it's gone. And I just, oh no. Next morning, both Val and I walked up to this guy and said, I don't know, can't give you a reason why, but the answer is changed. It is now no, because I'm telling you, peace left as soon as I said yes to you. And that saved me, because this wouldn't be happening if that happened, if I went through with that. And so it's important that you understand that. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. And that's the previous scripture. And it says rule means to umpire. That word means to umpire. And so the umpire calls the ins and the outs and the yeses and the noes. So when there's peace, kind of got thumbs up. There's no peace, the umpire saying, no, time out. Go back to the drawing board, go back in prayer. But it's definitely one of the acid tests that you have is that peace. And so we need to understand that. God doesn't lead with fear and anxiety. He just doesn't do that. So he leads with peace. And your head may be running 100 miles an hour. If your heart's at peace, stay steady. Stay focused. And have your eyes like a flint, as Paul would say. Philippians 4:6-7, it says, don't worry. Can I just say that again? Don't worry. Can I say it one more time? Don't worry, okay, about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that you can understand. There's a flooding of his peace that comes in. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. There's a living in Christ Jesus in that way of living in Christ Jesus and having committed all our worries to him, and peace is returned. That word guard there is a military term. It's a garrison of soldiers. Guards your heart. So the peace of God guards your heart and your mind as you live. And so it's wonderful that you have access to that peace when you've made a decision. So hearing God's voice brings a peace. When you know that you've heard, that it brings a peace. It also, you need to make sure it's biblical, and you also need to know, get confirmation from those that are around you. Value God's voice. God is speaking. We've got to listen to his still voice. We've got to listen to him through scripture. I always call it the zoom zoom word. I'm reading here and I've read it I don't know how many times, but then it just jumps off the page and hits me. I call it a zoom zoom word. It just, wow. And I know it's like God just stepping off the pages and saying, this is what I want. And just impact your heart. And so you have that. We also have prophetic people that come and announce a word and say a word that just brings confirmation in your heart. And say, yeah, we had that. Valeria and I, we kind of got, I got Val in a double-minded state for about 6 months about having another child. You know, us guys are rah, rah, rah. I mean, they got to do the heavy lifting, okay, guys? They've got to do all the lifting. That's all rah-rah for us guys. But when we were leaving Zimbabwe to move to South Africa, I was not having another child, because you don't want to put another child in the mix and trying to immigrate to another country. It was difficult enough. Our boys were about 4 and 5, around that age, when we moved to South Africa. And then got down there, and it's beach, and it's swimwear, and all that. No, we're not going to get out of shape and get pregnant now. No, no, that's not going to happen now. And so then she got double-minded, and then, but in that whole process, we weren't sure, and we had Janet Brand, a prophetic lady, that used to come and visit us and minister, and in one of our casual sitting around the table having coffee and that, she just announced, you two are going to have another child. And I said, oh, yippee-doo, so God's on my side, yeah. And so we left the table, and Janet turned around to Dee, our sister, and said, they're going to have a girl. And it's a gift for Rod.
Yeah.
That's what she said. And she only told us about, Dee was only going to confidently tell us after the birth, which was a girl. And Natalie is now. And so you get those confirmations with people and godly people that are around you. So God is speaking, and we need to tune our ear in. I've told you that what you got to do is you got to have an appointment with God. God's just not going to bombard his life way into your life. You need an appointment. Set a time aside. And make time, make a place where you would turn. Go, get there, become still. Get into the place of worship. Make that place a holy place. What is a holy place? It's not like all reverence, pious dress and all that stuff. That's not holiness. It's setting that place aside or that time aside so that you may have time with God. That you turn this into a holy time. Why? You've set time aside to come and worship God, to hear his word. That's what you do when you have that time of stillness. And yes, we come to this time of stillness. We have burdens, we have issues, and that's where prayer hands these burdens over to God. If you've prayed and then still leave with the burden, well, you didn't pray, you just griped. Okay, I just can say that again from the last time I said it. You just griped. So leave it at the Father. Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Leave it there and say, Dad, I'm leaving it there. I'm not picking the sucker up because it's weighing me down. Get into the scriptures, allow his scripture to, and then listen and record it. And then there's three things I want to just tell you about hearing God's voice. I told you last time, it's an innate thing that happens in us. When we are born again, God places an ability within us to be able to hear his voice. Prior to that, I don't know what he's got to do to get his voice to you, but innate, it's an instinctive thing that happens and you suddenly hear his voice. And so you say, well, I haven't. I said, well, have you set yourself aside to be able to listen to his voice and taken some of this instruction I'm giving you? Also, his voice is learned. I know that John talks to his baby in Jesslyn's tummy, and I can guarantee you when baby's born that the baby's going to look up when John speaks because he's going to recognize the voice. Why? Because John's been speaking to baby ever since, I don't know when, I think day dot, he started speaking to baby. And that's what happens. I mean, I can be in a crowd and I can hear Val's voice. I can hear my kid's voice. I know the voice. And God says, you can learn to hear my voice though. And so when you have your quiet time or you have that holy time, or you when you're walking down the path or something, you can hear suddenly God's voice speak. And it's learned. And it's also, you need to mature in hearing his voice. You know, right in the beginning, as a child, the voices, you know, the language is just maybe one word, and you always try and get dad, dad, dad. Mom's always trying to teach the child dad, dad, dad before mom, mom, mom. So if they want anything, it's dad, dad, dad first, you know. And then it becomes phrases, and then it comes sentences, and then it comes expressions, and so on and so on. It's the same thing with us. So don't despise those days when you just kind of hear a voice or hear a word. And eventually you mature. And so hearing matures. And your spiritual ear develops. It's a spiritual ear that God has. And so let me just give you three signs of an immature hearing of God's voice. In case you think you're somewhere, you may be dialed in on some of these, and we may just have to go back to the drawing board and relook at this. But Dallas Willard, he got a book called Hearing God's Voice. He says that a message a minute is the one way that you kind of realize that, hey, When you're always saying, God said this, God said I need to sleep more, or God said I need to wear this T-shirt, or God said I need to go to shop at Target today instead of Walmart. God's not like that, man. Not telling you what to do, what steps to take. I mean, so everybody is, oh, God said, God said, God said, God said. Just dial it back. Just dial it back, okay? And so you're tagging God with every crazy thought that comes through your head. That's not hearing God's voice or speaking God's voice, you know what he said. As parents, you're not constantly giving instructions and correction all the time, even though I know moms and dads, you feel like you're always saying, brush your teeth, comb your hair, make your bed, put your washing away, and keep saying that. Larry says, well, just when they get all nice, that's when somebody else gets our kids. That's what happens. And so, you know, but God's not like that. He's not constantly saying, don't do this, step buckets, dress thus. No, it doesn't say that. God's not talking like that. And so it's not a message a minute. God doesn't do that. So we need to know his ways and how he walks, because as we mature, we'll understand. Oh, okay, man. And understand. I don't even have to say, God, do I go to church today? He says, well, there's two reasons. Firstly, you're preaching. The other one is you're the pastor, so you better go to church, okay? I don't ask. I mean, there's some logical things that I do. Like, what do I eat? Well, yeah. Logic will tell you what's a good diet. And a lot of the stuff is not a good diet that we eat, but we'll leave that one for another sermon, another day. Hallelujah. Okay, the other thing that checks your maturity is point and hope philosophy. Point and hope. Okay, what is God saying? Oh, okay. Judas hung himself. No, that's the wrong word. That's the wrong word. Maybe my fingers weren't godly today. Go and do likewise. Or your business is really in trouble. Chapter 11. Church, we can't do this, eh? And I know that we've heard testimonies where the Bible was laying open in the hotel room and it was right there. John 3:16 was there. Or you've heard that. But that's the exception, not the way we run our day-to-day life. Pushing, I tell you what, you got a whole lot of pages that can tell you a whole lot of stuff and stuff that you don't really want to walk that, eh? Especially if you're starting to listen, reading through Ezekiel like we're reading through now. Man, that's bad news. I don't know. Those guys got hard of hearing. I don't know what their story was in those days. But man, Ezekiel was giving it to them left, right, and center. Okay, and the third thing to check your immaturity is W-E-W-B-W-B. What the heck is that? Whatever will be, will be. Valerie was typing this in for making my PowerPoint, so she didn't know what I was talking about yet. Que sera, sera. What language that is? I didn't even know how to spell it. I kind of put it there like I could remember it to say it to you, but sera, sera. You know, it's not only God's agenda that's out here, guys. There is a selfish, fallen man's agenda that makes mistakes, and there's the devil that has his agenda. So whatever will be, will be. Yeah, the devil will make sure that whatever will be, will be. So we need to understand that we need to hear God's voice, but don't go around saying, well, whatever will be, will be. This is God's will. No. That is a wrong way. Please change that from your theology. It doesn't line up with the Word of God. He says, my children hear my voice. And so the Spirit of God wants to lead us. And so I just want to say that. Also, don't be shy in asking God for confirmation. Drill down and say, God, I need confirmation. Is this what you're saying? Drill down. Because Mark 16:20 says here, the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said with many miracles and signs. They were confirming. God's wanting to work with you, and he wants to confirm it. Matthew 18:16, it says, so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. There's that process. We want to say, God, listen, can you send confirmation? Sometimes somebody will come and say something and just bears witness and say, thank you, Father. That confirms it. 2 Corinthians 13:1. And Paul writes and says, and this is the third time I'm coming to you to visit you. And as the scripture says, the facts of every case must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. So God's not concerned that you're asking for confirmation and that he'll bring other things to witness what he's saying to you. So, you know, don't shrink back from asking to God to confirm what he's saying to you. I wasn't gonna use this illustration, but it came back to mind. So, well, maybe it's the Holy Ghost, but it'll be anyway. So this guy needed a brain transplant. And so The specialist said, listen, I've got four brains. They're all different prices, okay? The Methodist one is the most expensive one, okay? And just a couple of thousand less is the Presbyterian. And then there's the Baptist brain. And the cheapest one we got on the table is the charismatic brain. And the guy said, why is the charismatic one so? He says, because it's never been used before. All right. So we don't want to be the charismatic that haven't used our brain, okay? So anyway, if you're offended, charismatics, we can handle it. Because I didn't say the Presbyterians was the cheapest one, okay? I said the charismatic. So we can take the hit because we can take a joke, man. Life is so serious. Good Lord. Nobody can take a joke nowadays. But on the last one about confirmation, you want to ask about Gideon. That boy, man, drove God crazy. He gets to find Gideon in this wine press, whining and bleating, and he says, mighty man of valor, and he says that you are going to deliver people, and he says, I need proof. And it says there in Judges, Gideon replied, if you are truly coming to help me, show me a sign to prove that you really are the Lord speaking to me. Don't go away until I come back and bring my offering to you. He answered, I will stay here until you return. So now the guy has to go find an animal, kill it, clean it, and prepare it, and then bring it back. And this is only like Jesus sitting here waiting. And when he gets back, yeah, the angel's still there. And so that's one confirmation. Then he gets out there and he says, okay, listen, I need a fleece. So he puts out a fleece. He says, I'm going to put out some wool. And if it's wet in the morning and everything else around us is dry, then yeah, you've spoken. Gets there in the morning, fleece is wet, ground is dry. He says, no. Let me ask you one more time. Tomorrow morning, if I wake up and the fleece is dry and the ground's all wet around it, then fine, okay, I know it's you. I mean, you talk about having a confirmation. I would have given him an earful. So I'm God Almighty, and here you are asking and asking and asking. But he did, and God was fine. He was fine with that. And then when he goes to go to battle, 32,000 of his guys pitch up to the battlefield, and God said, no, there's too many here. Tell them those that are frightened, they can go home. 22,000 go home. He's left with 10. And then he goes and he says, no, that's still too much. He says, let them all go and drink water. Those that drink water, cup in their hands, put them one side, and those that lap like a dog. Dog lapping military guys. They're interesting. They're crazy, if you ask me. They're crazy. I don't see how people drink like that. And guess what? God doesn't pick the people that drink with a hand. He says, no, the dog lappers are the ones I want you to find. There's only 300 left out of the 10,000 that lap like a dog. You're talking about asking God for confirmation and then being sure that you're sure that you can take on the whole mighty Midianite forces with 300. Well, he does. My answer is that you need to get confirmation. Ask God. He doesn't mind you asking for confirmation. Especially you're making decisions, saying, God, I just thank you for the confirmation of what I sense you say. Because these words flow up from your heart. And so we've got to make sure that we're sure. Because we're responsible for the way we behave, where we go, what we're doing, and what we're saying. Thus saith the Lord. Need to make sure we're responsible believers in with those people that are around. Because they're watching us. They don't read the Bible, they're reading us. And they must turn around and say, we want what they have. And I want to commend you guys, because you guys are a real testimony of great Christians in this room. And I want to say thank you. Thank you for what you do for the King and the Kingdom. And I tell you what, our great days are brewing on the horizon, and it's going to be such fun watching the countless thousands of people come to Christ in these next days. I tell you what, you're going to see movements on planet Earth that the culmination of all the revivals around the world will not be able to compare to what we're about to see. I mean, God is not going to take a handful of people to heaven with such a great price that he paid at Calvary. He's coming back, and he's going to clear the deck and say, come on home, the whole lot of you. All you skeptics in that, I'm going to show you who I am. And boy, watch them come in by the thousands. So let's pray, and let's ask God to hear his voice. And we're just so grateful, Father, for your goodness. We thank you that we each individually have a personal relationship with you, which means that we have an ear to hear your voice. We have this innate ability to know your voice. We want to mature in it, want to learn more about your voice, Father. allow us a place and a time where we may sit with you, commune with you, be able to hear your voice so clearly, Father, that we would be able to speak the now word into our friends' lives, into our families' lives, into our work colleagues' lives, Lord, because you're speaking, you're saying, you're going to start reading people's mails through us, Lord. We're going to start saying things and declaring things and praying for people. And Father, I thank you that your spirit is going to be let loose because we're going to be able to hear your voice, and Father, obey, because we are confident that we know your voice, that we hear your voice, and we declare your voice. And so, Father, we thank you that we are our vessels available for the Master's use. We posture ourselves today, Father, to hear you clearly. Thank you that you give us ears to hear what you say. And so, Father, I thank you for this family of believers and those that are watching, that there would be granted boldness, Lord, as they would said in the book of Acts, that they had boldness to go out and testify of you, to share of you, to speak about you, my God. I declare that boldness over this family and the listeners of this word, Lord. In Jesus' name, I thank you for this, Lord. No holding back, Lord. No shrinking back. I thank you that you grant boldness. I thank you, Father, that they would ponder upon this word, that they would put action to this word, Father, that we may hear your voice. And Father, we'll start hearing the testimonies of your goodness and your greatness and all that you're doing in and through us. And Father, we thank you for that. And all God's people said, amen, amen. You bow your heads one more time. I just want to give people opportunity. If you haven't responded to Christ and given your life to him, that he may come in with his Holy Spirit and dwell with you and cohabit with you and walk with you and talk with you. It's an invitation away. He doesn't invade anybody's home. He comes by invitation. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we invite him in. So if that's you and the sound of my voice, and you want to invite God and Jesus into your life, allow him by his Holy Spirit to come into your life, would you pray with me as we all pray out loud? Say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross for me, that you paid for my sins. Today, I acknowledge that. I receive you as my Lord, as my Savior, as my leader, as my forgiver. I call you Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, let me know. Tell us, shoot us a text, drop us an email, write on the Connect card, drop it off at the so we can talk to you, because you just joined a massive family. Oh, and the dad that absolutely loves you. And I know that the angels are going ballistic in heaven, because it says that when one soul responds to Christ, they crack a party. Bigger than the party we're going to crack when we go to the Kilimanjaro fundraising thing. Bigger than that. And I want to encourage you. Let me know. Let me know that you responded. And so, church, we're gonna just sing, and Fred's going to lead us. It's going to be a couple of verses. And in that time, if you have a prayer need, we have guys that want to pray with you. We have anointing oil here. We'll anoint with you. The Bible says we're two agree touching anything. It's done by our Father in heaven. Do not run this race alone. Come, they'll stand with you, whether it's financial, whether it's medical, whether it's relational, whatever the need is, God wants to meet it. And then come up here, and then we'll pray and dismiss all of us, and those that are up here, we'll pray for you guys, and just believe God to touch your life. Amen. So, Father, thank you. Thank you, Freddie.